So my connection to Acorn Bank and the river, I would say, is the fact that before my time as a staff member, I'm quite interested in foraging and wild foods. And I've always remembered this woodland to be quite full of wild garlic, which is always quite exciting. And just generally the river itself, you've got things across like the river that anemones that you don't see in much of, much number. Some of them are double ones, which is quite interesting because, again, you don't see those very often. And I think for me, it was always the fact that when I was studying at Newton Rigg, I kind of had this property as a case study quite often about gardening or the wildlife, and because it's quite a unique environment with being an older car as well. So, but I think most of my sort of interactions being through my volunteers, actually, because they're all local and lived in this area, and because they've been retired, a few of them, they've had time to sort of explore it in detail numerous times, because actually being a staff member on site, and I am the gardener, you're very guilty for not actually going down the woodland very much, because you're in somewhere outdoors all day, you've got your kind of fresh air in, and you think, right, well, that's me, I'm going home, and then,
yes,
you know, so you don't get to see it as much as you'd like, even that's only over the wall. So for me, it's through a few volunteers, so particularly one of them for me, and it's because she was quite a funny volunteer, quite mischievous. She was everywhere she should have and shouldn't have been, I would say. So she's called Julia, and unfortunately she has passed away this year. So I do always connect her to the river, actually, because I found her near the mill at the wrong side, thinking, how have you got there? But anyway, she would then be the one to tell you, like, oh, did you know this? Have you seen that? And I'm like, oh, I've never seen that or heard that. So she would point out things that maybe I wouldn't know the answer to, which then made me go find it out or be curious, and then when the right person triggers it again, I'll be like, oh, somebody's asked me about that before. So so I think for her and the wildlife, because I know her sister did stuff with badgers as a job, so she'd tell me about the evidence of them being around that area, and definitely the otters, which I know none of us have ever seen them who work here, but I think one person did down by the gypsum mine somewhere. But again, there is markings, I think, that people do say is there. So and I think, again, we had an apprentice on site who used to record the footage, and I don't know if she did ever see them herself on her camera, but, you know, again, there is evidence there. So
have you had any involvement with the camera? Do you keep track of what's on the camera?
I don't actually myself. It's our gardener, Chris. He's the one who's took on all that. He's a bit more techie, so we picked on him. probably, definitely myself, I'm not very good with cameras. So, yeah, he was able to set up, I guess, all the right shutter times or speeds and things like that, but because it's been sort of a thing down there, it's quite funny, because you do see how many people go down and have a little look at what's going on, which is interesting to see how, like, curious we all are. That so you do laugh, you're like, oh, someone's walking the dog, and then you go, oh, it's so and so from whichever property, they obviously know what's going on. So yeah.
So can I go back a step and ask you how long you've been here and what you've been doing while you've been here?
Yeah, so I've been at Acorn Bank 4 years as a staff member. I've been a staff member previously at Air Force for 5 years, but I used to come here and volunteer and do the odd bit of gardening, because I was trying to become a gardener, but you need a lot of experience even though you've got qualifications in this sector. So I did kind of have a lot of interaction with it. I think it was mostly the walled garden and the fruit collection initially, so that was quite nice. So yeah, I'm in my ninth year in the trust as a whole, but Acorn Bank 4 5 years, probably a bit longer if it's volunteering extra as well.
So how does it make you feel being here?
I love it, because it changes constantly, and it's peaceful, which I know visitors as well appreciate, and it's got so many different environments in one place. So because of the river, you've got that over the wall sort of feeling of the nature's still there, and in the garden it's kind of balanced compared to a lot of gardens where you've got very pristine things, but we haven't, you know, we're kind of quite proud of the rough around the edges, because it's, you know, it's more pleasurable. So
yes, yeah. And so the over the wall feeling, you do still feel that you've got connections to the woods,
yeah,
and the river,
because you still hear it, you hear it quite well, and particularly after lots of, you know, lots of bad weather, you're like, oh wow, have you heard the weir, for example? You can't believe it. But then equally, it's when I'm here on my own on a Saturday, because I do in the winter have alone days, I might be just doing some collecting signwood for grafting, and you can hear it so far away, that trickle, even though it's only a small amount of water flow compared to an ordinary, but it's really good. Yeah.
And do you stray down to the the stream, the river?
Yeah, now and then, especially if so it's if I have the middle gate open in the wall garden, we call it Crown of Thorn Gate, because it's like a picture frame straight down into it, I think, and especially when the snowdrops are out, you open it and you're like, wow, look at that, it's like a proper contrast.
And do you have contact with the people who are the volunteers in the woods as well?
Not so much, but only the odd one, because the garden volunteers, and sometimes they go down there, so I do see, when I do my newsletter, I might get pictures of people who have been doing things. So for example, in the Weir, we've got the Leet, so we've got Chris in waders with mud all the way up to his waist, and then some other volunteers just smiling covered in mud. You know, it's quite nice like that. So,
but it's not part of your job?
Unfortunately not. It's the woodlands in my sort of, you know, if I'm needed down there, but because the garden's such a big area and the estate and things, we're kind of divided up a little bit, because otherwise it's just too much for one person. And I particularly manage all the garden volunteers, so my setting up daily tasks and things can sort of focus me away. So yeah.
So tell me, do you have any stories that you remember from people who've been around here for a long time?
I think it's more, I haven't got any story. I think it's imagining when you read. So when I've read Dorothy's sort of writings, and from, we've got an archaeological dissertation that was put together, and it's nice sometimes to read what some of the things that she used to think. So you put yourself in the idea of, oh, as if this was down here once upon a time. Like, I don't know if it's accurate from memory, but I think there was some veg beds in the woodland. Something along them lines I remember reading in one of these things, and you're thinking, that's really quirky. And I think for me it's the daffodils as well, so the pseudonarcissi, you know, Dorothy wanted to be known as Lady Miller Daffodils. So when you walk down there and you see them thriving, you know, I am a gardener, but obviously that connected the garden team, Dorothy and the daffodils. So I think for me it's that, it's a very colourful place. So yeah, so I'm not fortunate to have stories, but more what people's experiences are when they work around the river mainly.
So do you have much information about what the original laying out of the gardens, I think, and the woods was?
So there's ideas of what we think it looks like, and from sort of suggestions. So some of the planting on sort of the Weir end of the woodland, not the sort of gypsum mind, is that a lot of things aren't just species planting, they're cultivars. So they're like, so like there might be a shrub that a tree, or like you think, well, that's not the standard type. So it might be, you know, something a bit posher. You're thinking, why is that down here? And then you start picking up, there's a lot more of that around the woods. So there is a designed element down there. In the last few years as well, I know Heather has helped the team get it, have garden eyes on it a bit more, that part of the woodland, because then it starts to bring those sort of, I guess, like views back, and things that are, you know, they're designed intentionally to be a certain way.
So are the paths part of the designed garden?
I think so. Again, they could have been National Trust sort of visitor proof, but I would have thought that, because again, those plants that we know are, you know, they're interesting species, they're not, they are cultivars, that they're obviously a journey involved somehow, because there's the two ponds as well, which were done by Dorothy, so, you know, planned around her, so there's definitely some journey involved, I do think,
it's not just a wild wood.
No, so especially this side, from sort of the Weir end, we definitely think further down the gypsum end probably was more natural left, but over the garden wall, literally, as I say, the wall garden, that has got some intention. So just from the fact that the daffodils are there, so... Yeah.
So future planning of it,
yeah,
is it going to be more like a garden than a wood?
Well, I think it'll still be woodland, but with a sort of, you know, you've got, I guess it pulls you around a bit, like these pleasure gardens you get where you've got something around the corner, you go, oh, what's that? You know, it is nature intended, so it was designed to be, you know, friendly in that sense as well, so...
Yeah. You sound very proud of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I think, especially down there, the fact that, you know, we know it has something, and it's a bit like a lot of the projects at Acorn Bank, that we know the gardeners, we're like itching, we're like, we know there's more to this. And then you're finding that you're getting that bit of extra bit every year, extra, and you start building the case to maybe find out the history a bit more.
So is there any history that you can find that is about the way, what's her name?
Dorothy Radcliffe. Yeah. So there's little bits. You have to go on if you're like me and you get curious, you start doing the Google search spree of typing every format, Dorothy Una Radcliffe Leeds or Dorothy Una Radcliffe with other surnames, because you're just desperate to find some unfound knowledge that maybe the trust hasn't found, because you're just desperate to have an answer. So for me, it would be good to see if there was ever a plan for down there. There might well be, Heather might even already have it, but for me to see it, it would be pretty interesting. So,
well, some of these historical documents appear after years, don't
they?
From families and all sorts. Do you think that there's great potential to develop it for public enjoyment?
Absolutely. And I think, again, I think people do become more aware of, woodlands are planned in some ways. There is native elements and natural elements, but I think a lot of people, obviously you hear designers like Capability Brown, and some people aren't always interested in that big landscape, but the term borrowed views and things. I do think that Acorn Bank, especially when you look over the beck, even though the land might not be ours, those wooden enemies are, you think, well, that's part of my garden because I'm looking at it.
It's part of the view.
It's in the woodland, but it's still a borrowed view. So I do think there's people don't realise when they walk around visitors, I think, that there's natural but also planned natural. So,
and does it make a difference that there's a working mill?
Oh, definitely. I think it's incredible because I've actually always loved mills, and the fact that where I work, there's something like that just secretly tucked away, I think it's fascinating. And one of my interests is actually wild foods and things, and the fact that self-sufficiency. So the fact that there's a mill on site, it kind of rings all the drums of, things that you just...
Growing, eating.
It's amazing. It sings all of it, so...
Yeah. Do you remember any, you were talking before about a flood, do you remember any natural events while you've been working here that have destroyed any part of the garden or spoiled some of your plants?
In terms of the garden, I think it's either contained flooding within the garden, which does drain off, but I think it's mainly been the way when we had Storm Arwen and things like that. So we had a lot of trees that went into there, and then obviously we had to rebuild the footpaths, get all that, and obviously the demand for the whole county was high, so we had to open for a few weeks with no access to parts of the woodland, which meant the river was obviously off, nobody could explore it, enjoy it. And obviously that probably changed it dramatically, more than we probably realised, because we were cleaning up a big mess that probably maybe it weren't as tidy as it was, but it was better than nothing. So, but the fact for me is when you see a big event like that, that what recovers. So like again, all the wild garlic in patches, which was normally great, a lot of the trees pulled up a lot of the bulbs with the root plates. So you're thinking, wow, is that ever going to be as good as it was? Like these big scars, are they going to? But you just can't believe how it recovers. Like you don't even know now that those trees are ever gone. Things have all moved through, and things like ground elder, which we hate in gardens, in the woods it's obviously it's a patch repair because it just goes straight through the whole stuff. I would say I think I'm going to connect sort of the river with issues maybe environmentally to garden pests. So we have actually ended up with Japanese knotweed down there, which on one of the corners. So actually that shows you through water action how it's coming somewhere as off-piste, as you're not near a road down there, or no one's bringing a plant of it in, so it shows you that it's travelled from the river. Gosh. And it's thinking it's come from the Pennine direction as well. You think, well, what's up the Pennines or what in one of the villages has pushed it this way? So that's for an environmental point of view, for invasive species is obviously the risk of flooding, it's brought something onto our land because it's obviously spread itself out. So I think in terms of not impacting plants but impacting woodland management, it's probably now going to create a big problem. So yeah, and you do see how it misbehaves actually as well. So we've all seen the lower down past the mill, how that has changed so much, and the fact that it's had to have trees come down with it, some of the oaks and things like that, which obviously I think for Acorn Bank to lose oaks is quite significant for especially within the name. So
are you replanting oaks?
So they've put several in. I can't remember what the ratio is, but it's like a few, maybe three or four trees per tree. So there's some gone out in the estate, and we've got a nursery bed now in place with oaks, so that there's backup oaks to put in. So
in terms of invasive, you just talked about invasive species. Are there any animal invasive species as well as plants?
I think they're not massively bad, but I know at the moment grey squirrels have been a lot more sighted. So and I know Centre Park's just over the way, and it's the same range team that that come and manage our. They had their first one in 16 years, so and we were getting around the same time, three or four sightings within a week. So I'm not sure it's the same ones, but it shows us a number that.
And did you have reds?
We do have reds actually. We're not seeing again very often here, but they are seen. I would say some mere dog walkers in the morning, seeing more than we do, but they do get reported. compost area actually for us is the place that people tend to see.
And does it matter that you've got people with dogs roaming around?
We do try and encourage on leads because, like say, wild birds and things that might be nesting, squirrels, that piece as well with, for me, it's, I know dogs are people's best friends, but you know, when you want to come to a tranquil environment, sometimes that might be the non-tranquility part of the woodland, that you might have a barky dog or a owner shouting at the dog. But you know, so I guess that's the only modernised sort of, I don't know, dogs have always been there, but I guess it can, for every person it's different.
And you're not excluding from any
areas. No, exactly. So it's bringing people in, obviously, to enjoy it with their dog as well, for maybe the peace, but
Thank you so much.